That's what God's looking for. He's looking for faithful men and faithful ladies and faithful families in these last days. And in Isaiah, what I was thinking about was, no, we are not Israel. And an evangelist do it. I do it. We go back to the Old Testament. We read these passages. And I'm not plugging us in to Israel. I'm not making us Israel. We are not a part of the national promises to Israel. It's totally separate thing altogether. But the similarities between them and us,
yes,
us as far as America nationally, is huge. And you cannot deny those similarities. Although I'm not going to put the church there because it's not there, okay? But the similarities to our country exist, particularly nationally. And when the pilgrims, and that's what I was taught in school, I don't know what they're teaching the kids now. I was, like I told you on Sunday night, I was really heartened by talking to a school teacher from Littlestown, Pennsylvania, who said to me, you know, we get a bad rap. He said, they're not all teachers are liberals. He said that. And he said, you know, today everybody thinks we're all bleeding heart liberals. And he said, we're not. He said, as a matter of fact, in my school particularly, most majority of the teachers are pretty conservative people. And I said, man, and he had no reason to lie to me about that. The man, we had just met each other and we're talking, and that encouraged me. I said, you know, I appreciate you telling me that. I said, because I said, you know, I don't want to paint everybody with the same broad brush. And I do believe that there are 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to liberal Baal, even if they're not saved people. And when the pilgrims came over here, they came over here primarily for religious liberty. This country started as a God-fearing country. I don't care what the progressives are trying to do to change the narrative today, because that's what they're doing. They're making slavery the entire issue. And if a God-fearing person happened to own slaves back in that time, they want to completely rewrite history. Our state was founded primarily by Catholic families, but they were God-fearing. And I believe that along with the call to repent, there needs to be a call and a cry to return.
Amen.
To return. And I just started looking at verses in the Bible that have the word return in them. And the word return means to come or go back to the same place. Mm-hmm. To come or go back to the same place. When your blood circulates through your body, your heart pumps it out, it makes it through all those capillaries, and guess where it eventually comes right back to? Comes back to that pump again. And I believe there should be a cry from America, from pastors in America, Bible-believing pastors in America, a cry to return. And that's not to return to our roots as a country, but to return to God Almighty, Jehovah, and particularly through a relationship established by what was done on the cross by God the Son.
Yes, amen.
But a return to God-fearing. And here in Isaiah and the prophets, I think the cry of all the prophets, all the way from Isaiah, which was in 713, up till there was silence 400 years before Christ, about 300 years. I think the theme of the prophets was return, return, return. Because Israel started out what? Just like our country, God-fearing, worshiping Jehovah. And our country started out that way, but as I've studied history, particularly religious history, I see major changes at the end of the 1800s, the beginning of the 1900s, and then into the roaring 20s is when things really started to get off the rails, and there's been that hard left turn ever since 1920-1922. Hard left turn. And what we need to do is spin that wheel the other way and bring it back. Now, for most churches, that is impossible from this point on. They are apostate, and once God puts Ichabod above the door, there's no going back. So who has to, because they're not going to, in the United, they're not going to do it over there. They're not going to do it over there. They're not going to do it down in the Church of Christ. They're not going to do it in these old line denominations that were God-fearing over 100 years ago. So who's got to do it? We have to do it. We have to do it. It has to come from right here. Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 6. Let's just read some scripture. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Turn ye unto him from whom the people of the United States of America have deeply revolted. You can put us in there and do no disservice to the scripture. You can. Revolt. And we studied that a while back. And I'm not going to dwell on the revolt. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. And we're just going to kind of bounce back through the prophets here and look at some verses. Let's get some context for this one. Man, I just saw the context and it's like, whoa, I cannot go right to that verse. Verse 6, chapter 55. A cry of a man of God to a erring people. All right? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. We have 2 months to seek the Lord, Christian friend. 2 months. Because it says, while he is near. And if you look at that, it means he might not be near in the future, or he's not going to be near. And we know that when they went into captivity, what happened with them? And we are about to go into progressive, politically correct captivity. Unlike anything we've ever experienced prior to now. Unless we call on the Lord. It's prayer meeting. Let the wicked forsake his way. This is always a requirement.
Amen. Always.
You cannot have revival without this. You can't. Not individually and not collectively. And I'm not calling out for revival over there because I'm kind of glad that's there. It makes a great teaching tool. And I trust me, I don't hate those dear people. They're blinded by religion. Blinded by religion. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. There's the word again. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Our country can be forgiven, can be pardoned. But it's not gonna, if it's not going to start there, then it has to start here. With us. Look at Jeremiah. Flip to Jeremiah. Let's go to the next prophet. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 1. Because here's where it's solely on us. And this is what he tells us. If thou wilt, here's the word, return. If. Who's it on? It's on us to return. And in order for us to return collectively, we must return individually. We must. If thou wilt return, O United States of America, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. I'm going to tell you something. Our country is fraught with abominations.
Yes, it is.
All right? It is fraught with abominations. And 100 years of preaching on unconditional love has brought us here. Because God's love is conditional. It is.
Amen.
100 years of saying, just do the best you can, you'll be fine. I've had people from those kind of churches tell me that's what their preacher tells them every Sunday. Just do the best you can, God loves you, and it'll be fine. And that's a lie. That is the lie that has been preached for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was preached by Billy Graham as well.
Yes.
It was. Mm-hmm. Come make a profession, go right back to your Catholic church, you'll be fine. You can have it all. You can have what you want, and you can have what God wants. And that's not what Scripture teaches.
No.
We can't have it all. Sin describes an act. An abomination describes a lifestyle. I believe. I've been looking at this. Because we've been saying something for years in Christian churches that all sin is equal in God's eyes. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. All sin will get us in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
But some sin brings the air of God on much hotter, harder, and faster.
Yes.
So is it equal?
No.
It's not. That's right. And there's a list of abominations.
Oh, yes.
Google it. Wikipedia will give you the list. Believe it or not, I couldn't believe it. They'll give you a list, along with verses as well, about abominations. Just turn real quick back to Proverbs. Man, we don't have enough time for this message tonight. I can see that right now. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16. I made a comment one time in a Bible study at the... I probably shouldn't have done it. At the Métis Addiction Facility. I said, man, I hate the snow. I shouldn't have said it. But I meant it. Because I don't like snow. And you know, this woman said, such a strong word from a man of God. These six things doth the Lord hate. If God can say it, I can say it. But it better be in the right way. Am I capable of saying it in the right way? Probably not. Probably not. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. There have been over 1,500 shootings in Chicago since January 1st. Do black lives matter to those politicians out there? Who, by the way, are all black people. I don't understand it. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. Every single day in that courtroom, I sit there and I listen to people lying. And the judge has to weed through. I tell you, we got some good judges in this county because those guys amaze me sometimes as they weed through all the lies. I think they have a system that they teach them. I'm not really sure how to do it, how they do it. And he that soweth discord among the brethren.
Yep, that's another one.
Man, that one gets close to home, don't it? Because we can kind of like pawn all the rest of them off on the world. But when you come down to that one right there, you got to bring that right in home. And it says he hates these things and that they're an abomination. Hates them. Deuteronomy 18:22, and you don't have to turn there because we don't have the time. Deuteronomy 18:22 speaks about what? You should know this right off the top of your head. Where would I go next? Sodomites. And it calls it what? An abomination. It calls it an abomination. Now, there are many today that would... And also, Deuteronomy 22:5 talks about trans people.
Uh-huh.
Man, I was going to bring that doctor's form tonight, and I forgot it. Because I'm going to bring it Sunday night. You've got to hear those choices. It's just shocking. It's shocking. And it's an abomination.
Yes.
Okay, it's an abomination. Sin is like a foul in basketball. We're both going up to the rim. We're both going for the ball. I miss the ball and I get his arm. Okay, that's sin. An abomination is we're both going up for the ball and I shove him into the goal post or the basketball post. Does that make sense? It's called a flagrant foul in sports. It's an intentional act in order to cause injury. A flagrant foul. There is a difference. It is worse. And America has wrapped its arms around the abominations.
Yes, they have.
Wrapped their arms around the abominations. I refuse to use the new gender language, and it is going very soon to result in my having to leave that courthouse. I dodged a bullet the other day because one of them, it, was coming in on a case, and everybody was calling it she, and I wasn't going to do it because that's my line in the sand. I don't care if it's wearing a dress, and it would have been, because I've been told that it dresses really sharp in dresses. But it's a man. And that's where the line is. But America is embracing it.
Yeah.
Embracing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says these are requirements to returning.
Amen.
Jeremiah. Turn to Lamentations. Let's skip back one more. I purposely lined them all up in order to make them easier to find. Because sometimes there's minor prophets. It's like, I've gone over, which book is it? One of those books I've skipped over like five or six times during a message is just close the Bible one hour. I'm just going to listen. I can't find it. I know where it is, but I can't find it. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Turn to Hosea. Keep flipping back. Ezekiel, Daniel, roll right through them. A lot of end times prophecy there. right after Daniel. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Come. That's always the call of God to sinful man. Has it ever changed? It's never changed. Come. Come. God calls, and we run in the opposite direction. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. We have been torn by COVID, have we not? Yeah. And COVID's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the tearing of God, which will eventually lead to Revelation Sunday morning. Eventually. We're not there yet. We won't be there. But we're going to see it coming. I believe that with all of my heart. Look at Hosea chapter 12, same book. Just flip over a page. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. Therefore turn thou to God, to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. We are told by this generation today, don't judge. And you know what God says to us who believe? A spiritual man judgeth all things. You are to judge. You are to make a distinction. You are to draw a line in the sand. We are to do that. Don't let the modernistic bunch tell us we can't judge because we can. As long as we do it biblically.
Right.
We can judge. We most certainly can. And that's part of the problem. We've stopped judging because it's politically incorrect to say, I'm not calling you she, because you're not a she. Saw one in Lowe's yesterday. And I said to my wife, that is a man, I think. Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. Oh, United States of America, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. I'm telling you, this better start ringing out from every pulpit in this country. It better. It better. Joel chapter 2. See, I made it easy on you. Verse 13. And rend your heart and not your garments. You know, the problem with the Jews back then is they liked to make a show. And it was a big deal. Your clothes were everything. They didn't have money like we have today. Clothing was currency. And to rend your clothing was quite the show. But God has said here, look, I don't want you rending your clothing. I want you to rend your heart, which means a what? We should have a broken heart over our country's state at this particular time.
Yes.
We really should. We should have a broken heart over where we stand as a country today, over sin and the evil that has crept in, and we've stood by and watched it taken over. And he says, here's the word, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Man, there's a simple fix. Turn back to God. But it has to start here because it's not happening over there. It's got to start here. It has to. Look at Zechariah. Skip a couple there. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. I'm sure I could have found some more verses in those right there.
Oh, yes.
Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. Therefore say thou unto them, and I'm saying it to us, I'm saying it to me. I'm saying it to me. Where does the buck stop? It stops right in the shoes I'm standing in. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3 says, therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn to you, saith the Lord of hosts. And then turn to Malachi. Last time God speaks to this group of people for 400 years. Why? Because they wouldn't do what I just read. And if America doesn't, he's done with us. He's done. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7. See, this didn't start with my generation. Like I said, this started 100 years ago. At the turn from 1800s into the 1900s. Didn't start with me. I can't blame the critical text people, the people that looked at the Bible with a critical spirit, looking for error, what they supposed was error and contradiction. No, it started with them, and I can't take credit for that, nor will I. However, I have to take credit for my generation. And here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, it says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. You know, if you look at pictures, World War I time, New York City and some of these others, you will not see a woman that's not wearing a dress. Now, you go up there as a man. You go anywhere where it's crowded in the summertime as a man, and it's pornography in real life today. It is. It is. It's unbelievable. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? And then it goes into the tithes and offerings, and I'm not going to get into that. But I do want to flip real quick up to the New Testament. Because some may say, well, that was them. That was Israel. It was another dispensation. And I agree that one dispensation into the next is where the Word of God is rightly divided. However, when God brings something into the next dispensation, it's written in stone for that dispensation. And here in James chapter 4, and verse 8, he says the exact same thing. James 4, verse 8. That he said back in Malachi 3:7, the last time a prophet talks to them, James repeats it in his words. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. What is required to do that? Clean up the abominations. That's what's required. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And he's not talking to lost people. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to me. He's talking to me. I don't know what's in store for us, folks. I just know that we as a people can be blessed and protected regardless of what happens out there. That's why it's not scary. We can be blessed and protected regardless of what happens out there if we do what he just said.
Amen.
Make sense? Let's pray.